Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Thank you so much for listening to Hope for Today. It is a privilege to study God's Word with you. It doesn't matter who we are or what we are going through. God can speak to us through His Word. Of course, we must do our part and listen. This is not only hearing with our ears, but also our hearts. Some of us need to slow down, or some of us may need to clear our minds so we can actually hear Him. Today's lesson is the last of three lessons about the paradox of ministry. The past 2 weeks, we heard the first two lessons, and today is the final lesson. Each lesson gives us a perspective or two that helps us understand the paradox of ministry. Last week, we looked at the perspective of passion and started the perspective of protection. Today, we will conclude the teaching on protection and finish up by looking at the perspective of paradox. Bible teacher J. Mark is here, so let's go with him one more time to 2 Corinthians 6 for today's lesson.
Let's read the text, 2 Corinthians 6, 1-10, and discuss the perspective we began the last time, but weren't able to finish. We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." In our text, Paul says he wants to live so that no one can refuse the gospel because the messenger was offensive. You and I should live that way too. What's the most frequent response people give when they're asked why they haven't become Christians or maybe why they don't come to church? "Because the church is full of hypocrites." I realize that many people seek excuses to justify their sins, but we ought to live so their accusations are false. We live in an era when many prominent Christian leaders have chosen to bring disgrace to the name of Christ and to His church through their moral failures. And the world loves that. The media gloats over it. You see, Paul was very much concerned about how his ministry was perceived, not because he had a big ego, but because he didn't want anything he did to hinder the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, he wrote, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest, when I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified." The imagery that Paul is using is from the arena. He put his body, he said, through rigorous discipline, just like an athlete in training. When his body said, "Quit," his spirit said, "Keep going." And he didn't let his feelings dictate what he should or shouldn't do. He did all he could to protect his reputation. and in that way, to protect the gospel. So what about you and me? How well are we protecting the gospel? Are we being careful in the things we choose not to do? What about being careful in the things we choose to do? Paul didn't want to cause unnecessary offenses, but he also wanted to be commended to the Corinthians. Our personal virtue is the greatest gift you and I can give to others outside of the gospel. Godly character protects the proclamation of the gospel. And then the final perspective to help us understand the paradox of ministry is the perspective of paradox. In verses 4 through 10 of our text, you see all these things that Paul experienced. They were the basis of his commendation to the Corinthians. It's a tremendous list of things both positive and negative. And here's the paradox. Satan desires to use the hard things you and I experience to discourage us, to make us think that our work isn't worth all that trouble. But if we hold fast to our faith in God and His sovereignty, we grow stronger and more determined to be faithful in our calling despite the obstacles. Do you remember what Joseph said to his brothers after their father died? His brothers said to each other, and I'm paraphrasing, "Now that Dad is gone, perhaps Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." They came to Joseph, and they fell on their faces, and they said, "Behold, we are your servants." Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." So glance over the list of things that Paul mentions in these remaining verses of our text. They're divided into three groups. The first group of things is in, that is the key word, in, 10 different settings or experiences. The second group is by, that's the key word, by 12 different actions. And then the third group is as or like, that's the key word, 6 contrasts. And every one of the things on this list carries a story that can be filled in by Paul's experience as an ambassador of the gospel. Now, most, if not all, of the things on Paul's list of in things or experiences were forced upon him by other people. Things like riots, beatings, imprisonments, afflictions, anxiety, sleep deprivation, and hunger were all perpetrated by those who rejected the gospel. Now, who will endure such things for something you don't believe in? Paul did all this for Christ and for the church, and he maintains these are proofs of the authenticity of my ministry. Would you be willing to endure similar things for the sake of the gospel, for the building up of the brotherhood, your local church? Then notice the 12 actions, that is, the by things in verses 6 through 8. Things like purity, patience, kindness, and love. They're very similar to the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5:22 and 23. When Paul mentions the armor of righteousness on the right hand and the left, he's referring to a soldier who is fully equipped for the battle. Paul gave a detailed listing of the armor and the weapons in chapter 6 of Ephesians. Are you and I allowing the Holy Spirit to develop these fruits of the Spirit in our lives so we can be more effective ambassadors for Christ? And then finally, we have the as or like contrasts at the end of verse 8 and going on through verse 10. Paul's accusers ignored him because he lacked the credentials that they thought were so important. Yet he was recognized, well-known, and loved by those who mattered. The shadow of death often covered him, but he said he continued to live life to the fullest. He was beaten, but not to the point of death. He was often sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. He lived with poverty, but enriched multitudes by his ministry. He owned little to nothing, and yet he considered himself to be a wealthy man. All these sacrifices he gladly made so that no one could charge him with being unfaithful to his calling. His greatest fear was the possibility that after he had preached to others, he would be disqualified, 1 Corinthians 9:27. Now I know that in many parts of the world, our brothers and sisters experience the paradox of ministry very much like the Apostle Paul did. Here in the West, not so much. Why is that? Some of it has to do with Western civilization's foundations being the historic Judeo-Christian values of religious freedom and private property ownership and more. But you know, it's not all because of that. Part of it concerns the comfort level that you and I expect or demand every day. Now, I'm not suggesting that you become a hermit or a monk. I'm just asking you and myself to think seriously about our choices for the sake of the gospel. Many hardships and trials characterized Paul's life, and yet he was filled with joy. Why? Because his goal was to know Christ and to make him known. He knew that a crown of righteousness was reserved, waiting for him in heaven. As an ambassador for Christ, there's a crown waiting there for you too. Can you see the paradox of ministry in these perspectives? Do you grasp the privilege that you and I have to work with Christ and have His Spirit live in us? Does that realization give you a passion to see that the gospel isn't proclaimed in vain? Are you striving to live in a way that protects the gospel, that eliminates or minimizes things that might cause others to reject the message? And can you live with the paradox of ministry, the honor and dishonor, the patience in tribulation, the rejoicing in sorrow? Reflecting on these perspectives, do you see yourself as rich or poor? In conclusion, here are the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 38. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." May God help us to recognize and embrace the paradox of ministry.
Thanks, J. Mark. Thanks for challenging us with these four perspectives and helping us understand the paradox we may face during ministry. He summarized it well when he asked, "Can you live with the paradox of ministry, the honor and dishonor, the patience in tribulation, and the rejoicing in sorrow?" Notice the opposite emotions in that quote. The challenge is to embrace both sides. In the easy times and the hard times, allow God to work in us. If it were our choice, we would not choose many of the hard times. However, we are servants of God, and if He leads us to it, He will also help us through it. If you missed any of these lessons, or if you'd like to hear them again, you certainly can. The easiest way is to go to our website, heraldsofhope.org. While you're there, go to the Listen tab at the top of the page. There, you can hear as many past episodes as you would like. You could also send us an email and ask for the digital file or script. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. And you can always contact us by sending us a letter. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Next week, Lord willing, we will move to the next section in 2 Corinthians. Hopefully, you will join us then as our study continues. Till then, go with God and serve Him with everything, as Paul tells us at the end of 1 Corinthians 10. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.